when disaster strikes.
We strike back.
I join a special firefighting team whose job isn't to put out fires. It's to start the
ignition.
Vanessa trains for the most dangerous kinds of rescue operations. Then she goes on a mission to help stop deadly landslides.
Whoa! And Charlie gets seasick, waterlogged, dehydrated, sunburned, heat stroke, cramps, hypothermia, exhaustion, the shivers, numbness, and finally, he drowns. Then he shows us how not to do that.
I think I'm gonna be okay.
It's Popular Mechanics for Kids, Fighting Disaster.
Today's episode of PMK is filled with disasters.
Allow me to demonstrate.
Okay. Oh, Alicia, why don't you come in here for a sec?
Hi, Tyler.
Oh, hi, Alicia.
We're supposed to be in the other room. Tyler, don't put this in front of the door. It's an accident waiting to happen.
I guess you're right.
Minor disasters happen around us every day. But today's episode of PMK is filled with major disasters, like mudslides and earthquakes.
I need to go get some glue.
Oh, no!
Experts study disasters by recreating them under controlled conditions. That's how they learn how to protect people and property from them in the future.
No!
I think you're gonna need some more glue.
Yeah, thanks. I think I figured that out.
Here's Vanessa.
There's been a terrible accident. A plane crashed into a house. There's no time to waste.
I'm at the Technical Rescue Training Facility in California. This is where LA County firefighters are trained to rescue people trapped inside collapsed buildings.
Every year around the world, thousands of people get trapped inside collapsed buildings because of natural disasters.
Firefighters risk their lives every time they go inside a collapsed building. They only want to go in if they know there's someone trapped inside.
Rescue teams use high-tech listening devices, search dogs, and even this. It's a search camera. It has an extendable neck and can look around corners. It's great to see and hard to get into place.
Oh, looks like you got somebody right down there in the corner.
Oh, yeah, I see him. It looks like he's trapped inside the plane.
Now that we've found the pilot, we have to figure out the fastest and safest way to get him out. We found our entrance through a collapsed floor. A dangerous route. You gotta be extra careful when you move stuff out of the way. You gotta think of a collapsed building as a house of cards, ready to fall down at you at any time.
Did a lot of damage to this house.
It sure did, but it's nothing like after an earthquake. Earthquakes usually have a lot more structural damage. At least this one's still pretty much intact.
Digging a tunnel to get to the victims is one of the most dangerous types of rescue operations. In a collapsed building, the smallest mistake and we could end up being trapped in here ourselves. Firefighters have the tools to get through anything, even cement. Before using tools like this jackhammer, firefighters have to make sure there are no gas leaks. Even a tiny little spark like this one could set up a huge explosion.
We're through the cement!
Okay, great, but we gotta keep drilling. Yeah, we gotta cut through this rebar so we can fit on through there.
We're coming for you! Hang on!
Oh, good job. All right. And this one, and this one, right on down.
All right.
Should I just push some of that rock out of the way?
tight.
Oh, yeah, you got it. Good job.
All right. The plane! We made it!
All right, good job, Vanessa.
It took us about 5 hours to rescue this guy.
There's a good chance that he could have survived depending on what his injuries were. We've had people survive up to 12 days after an earthquake.
12 days?
Mm-hmm.
You would have survived for sure.
Tornadoes can hit wind speeds of 512 kilometers or 318 miles per hour. They're deadly. Watch for the warning signs and prepare to survive. Violent thunderstorms, greenish clouds, cloud bottoms that look like they're headed for the ground. To stay safe, go down to your basement or a windowless room in the center of the building, like a closet. Don't go out to take pictures. To stay in is to stay safe.
Mud flows. Every year they kill people and destroy homes. We're trying to figure out how to predict mud flows, just like we can predict the weather. That way, people can get out before they get buried or crushed. To do this, scientists built a mega slide. That way they can create their very own mud flows right here in Oregon.
Oregon.
The only one of its kind in the whole world. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Vanessa. Welcome to the flume. This is where we not only predict how far debris flows go and what areas they might affect, but how they work, how they can keep their energy and be very destructive over very, very long distances.
When it rains hard and the earth high on a hill gets soaking wet, it gets extra heavy. And if the hill doesn't have lots of trees or plants on it, there's nothing to stop the earth from sliding down.
Let's go up to the top and take a better look, okay?
All right. This huge concrete channel where the dirt rushes through during a test is called a flume. It's the length of a 32-story building.
We built it on this slope because it's the same slope that mud flows happen in nature. If the slope's steeper than that, the soil never accumulates, and if it's flatter, gravity can't get them going.
This flume has a lot of stairs. 256 to be precise. I'll race you to the top.
I was saving my energy so we can help load up the 20 tons of dirt and rock that's going to make our mudslide.
20 tons? Now it's time to add the water. When the soil is damp, it holds together. You know the wet sand is great for building sandcastles, but not if it's too wet. Then it falls apart. And if there's a steep enough slope and little vegetation and trees to hold it all together, well, you'll see.
Let's go on down. You can flip the switch and let this one go.
Cool. I thought I'd do my own little test to show you how incredibly powerful and dangerous mud flows really are. It's not as high tech, but I'm sure it will be very interesting. Good luck. She'll need it.
Okay, we're gonna go.
Let's see how she did. Oh, well, she doesn't have a head anymore. That's a bad sign. And here's her foot. So I don't think she would have lived through that.
No, they're pretty powerful, aren't they?
Well, thanks a lot, and I'll see you next time.
Not so fast, Vanessa. Now it's time to clean it all up.
Yeah, but there are 20 tons of mud here.
Well, maybe we can use the tractor. You're right.
All right. I don't mind cleaning up with this.
Liquid fire. You can't can't stop a lava flow. At 1250 degrees Celsius or 2200 degrees Fahrenheit, it fries up everything in its path. Roads, trees, houses, nothing is safe. Luckily, lava flows are usually slow moving, so people can escape.
I seem to be in a bit of a situation. I've fallen into a lake. It's cold water, and I'm wearing nothing but a t-shirt and a pair of shorts. I'm exhausted. They can't hear me. See me. What the? I'm okay. It was just a dream. I'm alive. It was cold.
Oh, boy. I seem to be in a bit of a situation here. I've fallen into a lake. It's very cold water. Can I survive long enough to be rescued? Or will I give in to hypothermia? Luckily, I prepared for such emergencies just like this. Check out the flashback. Flashback, this one. I remembered to take my PFD, personal flotation device. There's a reason they're called life preservers. Cold water is my enemy, which makes clothes my good friend. My body warms the water trapped inside my clothes. That little bit of warm water insulates me from the freezing cold water of the lake. And I also want to cover my head because half of your body heat escapes out of your head. I also pull my knees into my chest and wrap my arms around her. It's called the help position. It stands for heat escape lessening position. Try to stay as still as you can to conserve energy. Even stop treading water. Your life jacket will keep you afloat. Oh, look. Now, instead of doing this, you can do this. It's guaranteed to be louder. Oh, another thing you can attach to your life vest is... Oh, even wet, you are one handsome guy. A mirror. It's actually used for this. People can see light reflecting off of a mirror from up to 11 kilometers or 7 miles away. Now this, combined with this, well...
Oh, I gotta get this fixed. What's that noise? What's that out there?
Your boat is nearby. Try climbing up out of the water. Most boats will support you even if they're full of water and stay there. It's easier to see a canoe in the water than a person. Here's my ditch kit. I secured it to the canoe before I got in. Watch this flashback. Not that flashback, this flashback. A ditch kit has emergency supplies. You want pills in case you get seasick, because that can make you dizzy and weak, which you don't want to be in this situation. The stuff inside is bone dry because I made sure my kit was waterproof. Another way to signal for help. I'll do Morse code for SOS. I think I'm gonna be okay.
Charlie! Hey, Charlie! We're right here.
Oh, that's right. One final survival tip. Find someone to go out onto the water with, because you do not want to be alone in a situation like this. Thanks for coming along, guys.
Yeah, no problem, Charlie. Charlie, you're going the wrong way.
Hurricanes kill people. But it's usually not because of whipping winds and flying objects. 9 out of 10 deaths are caused by what's called a storm surge. High winds push this massive dome of water to shore. It can be 6 meters or 20 feet tall and 160 kilometers or 100 miles wide. listen to the radio for instructions and prepare to evacuate.
Okay, a bit to your left. A bit more. Wait. Back to the right. Okay, perfect. Thanks. Finally. My own place.
And I get to burn it to the ground. With the help of these guys.
This is the flashover lab. Firefighters and scientists use it to study how house fires behave and to figure out the safest way to fight them.
Firefighters go into raging fires. They battle flames and heavy smoke. Their equipment has to take the punishment to keep them alive.
Today, we're testing firefighting gear. Rescue Roger over here is going to help us out.
I smell something burning.
The better the gear, the deeper into the fire the rescuers can go. That might mean the difference between life and death.
We're here to make sure that these suits can take the heat of a real house fire. These sensors are called thermocouples. We're using them to record how hot the gear gets during a fire. You want to have the sensors on the inside and the outside of the fire gear, like this.
The ones on the inside show how hot it is getting next to the fireman's skin.
We don't want it to ever get above the boiling point inside this fire gear, because when that happens, sweat turns into steam and really starts burning.
Let's go.
Okay.
The first thing we do is rig the house to burn.
Okay, Tyler, we next need to put up this thermocouple tree so we can see how hot it gets in this room. Put that up in the ceiling.
Good job.
We put dozens of thermocouples all over the room. Next, we connect all the sensors to the temperature recorder.
Everything's ready.
Okay.
All we have to do is set up the electric match.
All right.
Looks like something they might use on Mission Impossible.
If you place that in the corner.
It's just a normal pack of matches, but it's triggered with a remote control.
Okay, let's get out of here.
Next, we place Roger just outside the house, close enough to fight the flames.
Here we go.
But far enough so he doesn't get burned.
All right, why don't you go ahead and press the electric match?
All right.
Ignition. It's starting to grow.
Jeez, it really burns.
Starting to get flashover.
A flashover is when the fire just goes from some parts to when it envelopes the entire room. Just right after a flashover is when the fire is most dangerous.
Roger, we're to 250 degrees in the room. How you doing?
I'm okay right now.
It had 400 degrees, no, 500. Climbing fast.
Ouch.
If Roger wasn't wearing a suit, his skin would be melting.
Wow, it's 700 degrees. He's gonna boil in his own sweat.
Ooh, it's hot.
Time to pull Rescue Roger out and bring in the heavy artillery. The fire's out of control. It's raging.
Go help the firefighters, Tyler.
Go help the firefighters.
Yeah. Go!
No.
Hot! Well, he doesn't look that bad.
Well, hopefully we got some good data out of the test.
Yeah, so let's go over and check it out.
Okay.
The house was burnt to a crisp.
Whoa.
Temperatures got up to 750 degrees Celsius, or 1400 degrees Fahrenheit, hot enough to melt steel.
Man. Completely burnt.
And what about Rescue Roger? Even though the temperature in the room got up to 750 degrees Celsius, it was only 45 degrees inside his suit. He was able to fight the fire for 4 whole minutes before having to be pulled out. This is serious equipment, and it saves lives.
Are you ready for the next phase of testing?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Human volunteers are very difficult to get. I'll go get the gear.
No, I just remember, I'm allergic to fire.
That was a great show.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
I don't know. I mean, the burning house adventure was cool, but I kind of wanted to do the mudslide.
Well, maybe I can help.
Really? Because that'd be great.
Sure.
Okay.
Just look straight into the camera and yell mudslide as if a whole bunch of junk and dirt is headed straight for you.
Okay. I'm glad I didn't yell fire.
See you next time.